is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Arizona tonight. Why?
Not anything to do with anyone dropping a nickel.
Somebody dropped a penny?
No, my daughter's competing in a national ice skating competition.
Drew dropped a couple of nickels.
Yes, I hemorrhaged nickels.
Yeah, yes. I know. Your wife was telling me how, last year's skates just wouldn't do. You got to get a new set of skates every sow cow.
Yes. There's new boots and then there's new blades. Those are two different things.
Oh my god. I am telling you, I didn't know. We should get into this for a second. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Drew over there in where in Arizona?
Phoenix.
How hot is it?
Let's see. This 112.
Yeah. Oh, well, you dodge a bullet. It's only like 117 here.
Oh, I was there this morning. It was horrible.
Yeah. Let's talk about Drew and the skates and all that kind of stuff. When I grew up like Charlie Brown, really. I had a football, but it had no laces in it. I found it in the park. It was sort of fat and bloated. It was more the shape of a utility ball than it was a football, but it didn't have laces. And I used this kicking tee. I used a cup. It was a trophy I got from some bowl game for being like best defensive player in some bowl game. And I used it like a kicking tee, and I ended up busting the cup using it as a kicking tee. And then I had a couple of home run balls from Little League, where Little League, you hit a home run, they'll write the date on it and give it to you. But I used them. For street ball.
Well, those were your balls.
That was the ball I had, and I ended up in the ivy somewhere in North Hollywood. But the point is I didn't know anyone who owned a pair of skates, a pool cue, a bowling ball, a set of golf clubs. That kind of stuff was crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't own that stuff, and if you did, you were a pro. if you owned a bowling ball, you were on the PGA Tour.
Oh, my God, yes.
PBA Tour, the Pro Bowlers Tour.
Bowling shoes? What?
Bowling shoes? Yeah, I mean, if you owned a ball, some shoes, if you owned one stitch, like if you own your own ice skates, you're a professional hockey player or you're Olympic caliber figure skater.
That's right.
That was it. It was all about the rental growing up. God knows how much disease was passed back and forth with the sweaty, stinky everything going, rental shoes at the bowling alley, rental ice skates. Everything was one big rental. But it was now here's what I want to get to. If you have a kid, don't sign the kid up for a sport that everyone else plays in school, because chances are he'll just be in the lower half of the group and everyone will know it. You put your kid on the baseball team, everyone knows he's got a subpar arm. He swings a bat okay, but only warning track power. And he gets picked fifth when they pick 10 guys for a team. You pick a sport like hockey,
lacrosse,
or a sport or lacrosse or something where nobody else in the school can play it, and then he gets to be the best player anyone ever knows.
Yes, that's right.
We had a guy. There was a guy named Jeff Katz in my high school. This guy played hockey. Yeah. He was the only guy I ever knew who played hockey. Nobody else I knew owned skates, owned a stick, owned a puck, knew anything about hockey because it was from North Hollywood. Our parents were stupid, cheap, and poor, and no way were any of them going to buy us a set of Bauer skates for $120.
Oh, yeah.
Impossible. Yeah. Unimaginable.
Yeah, unthinkable, yeah.
Unthinkable, not in the realm of possibilities. So this guy, Jeff Katz, he was smart. He would walk around in a hockey jersey with his name on the back of it all the time. He would always carry that huge. If you want to play hockey, you have to get a bag that is the size of the tents they use to put over apartment buildings when they fumigate. That only has your stick hanging out of it, and you must drag it everywhere. because you have 7,000 pounds of equipment that you just drag everywhere. Now, I don't know why hockey players have to drag their equipment everywhere, but everyone else doesn't seem to drag their equipment everywhere. But hockey, it's like you take a bag, you put six bodies in it, and then you hang a stick out of it, and then you just drag it everywhere. This guy, Jeff Katz, would be wearing the jersey, be wearing the thing. Now, first off, he played hockey, so everyone thought he was a badass.
Right.
Meanwhile, he was a 5'4 Jew who was paunchy and couldn't play any other sport. But yet, he was the greatest hockey player anyone ever knew. And no one could ever question.
Southern California? What are you talking about?
That's right. No one could ever question him on it. And if you asked anyone at North Hollywood High or Walter Reed Junior High, who's the best hockey player? You, Jeff Katz.
Yeah.
Greatest hockey athlete ever. Better than Gordie Howe. This guy is the great one, they call him. And it was crazy because now that I look back at it, I realize I never saw the guy play hockey. He would always tell us some story about having a hat trick or getting in a fight and kicking some ass or scoring some last-second goal. But no one ever saw him play. No one ever knew where he played. He was always this close to making the Olympics. But nothing ever came of it, of course.
I had a friend,
he just toted that bag around.
Yeah, I had a guy who was a ski racer. So every weekend he'd have to go up to the Sierras and train. But there was like, so he would enter a parallel universe. We'd never see him. Who knows what the hell he did up there?
All right. But I'll tell you, it translates into respect from the gents and poontang from the ladies, as opposed to just hanging out here, getting picked up in a football game and realizing you're not that good. And getting the label of, the guy's, he's okay. He's all right. He's kind of second string type guy. So that's my point, everyone. Pick a weird sport for your kid. Fencing. Something that other people can't do and will never question you at. And you'll be the king of the hill in that sport at your school. Better to do that than just be sort of riding the pine on the basketball team. Be the eighth best guy on your 13-man team. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right. How'd your daughter do, Drew?
It's tomorrow morning.
I'm asking you how she did.
She's fine, but it's her competition tomorrow morning.
All right. Has your wife got her freaked out?
Oh.
Eating disorder?
Speaking of eating disorder, what did you have for breakfast? I'm smelling those burps.
I just let something
for
fly.
Dinner.
Ate some chili. Ate some chili tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to rock?
Let's do it.
Let's see. Multi-orgasmic. Used to be.
Oh,
Christina?
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Hey, listen, Still got it?
Yeah.
Drew, come over there and get you started like Fonzie getting a jukebox started. Pow. Pow. Yeah.
Hello.
All of a sudden, Bill Haley and the Comets come flying out of you. 1 o'clock, two. Drew, like the Fonz with the multi-ors. Boom. They open you up like a slot machine. Just come paying off.
Bill
ting,
Haley.
Ting, 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 ting. Yeah. What's up? So you used to be multi-orgasmic, but you're not anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why I used to be. Like, I started masturbating when I was really young, and I would come and everything. But now, since I turned, 17, I haven't been able to. And I thought because I was depressed that maybe that might have been it.
Yeah, that's possibly. Were you on antidepressant medicine?
No, I didn't get any treatment.
Birth control pill?
No, I wasn't on anything.
And were you, maybe this is one of those situations where you develop what we call sort of a bipolar quality to your sexuality, where you become hypersexual and then you sort of shut down and become non-sexual.
And I don't know, because I still get turned on, when I see pictures of guys and stuff, I'm still attracted to people and I still like sex and the idea of it, but I just can't. When I masturbate, I can't do anything. Nothing happens.
Well, but the question I'm bringing up is whether or not there was any sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Not
no.
really.
The dusting.
Adam, you?
Not really.
It depends what you call abuse.
No, I got abuse, but not abuse. Hey, Christina.
Yes.
Christina. Do you have a boyfriend now?
No, I'm a virgin.
Oh, you're a virgin?
Yeah.
No. Well, now this is kind of tough because you used to be multi-orgasmic, but you're a virgin, but you're, now you can't pleasure yourself. I don't know. What about a relationship? How about a boyfriend?
Oh, I can't really do that yet. I live with my parents and they're really religious.
What's your religion? Yeah. What are they?
Religious? What?
What's religion? The religion?
They're Muslim.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Yes.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, that's what I figured. What part of the world are your folks from?
Oh, I thought you meant me. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. They're from Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And are you Muslim, too?
I don't know. I don't think so anymore.
Well, is that part of the problem? Are you getting sort of guilty and feeling funny about all this?
No, I don't feel guilty about it.
Are they strict on you because you're a female?
No, they're not. They don't allow anyone in our family to date.
Oh, okay. And do you have a brother who can't date?
Yeah.
How old is he?
16.
Not such a bad policy, by the way.
Well,
not necessarily realistic, but...
Well, you know. How does that work? When do you get to date? I mean, you're 19. Don't you? You're going to have to eventually...
I don't know. My parents are crazy, so I don't know. They're not very normal people.
Well, why? Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
Well, my dad, he lives like... Well, they got divorced when I was really young, and my dad, he lives like a few miles away from me, and he like doesn't allow us to go to his house or see our brothers and sisters and stuff like that.
Do you have other brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
From another, he has another relationship?
No, he's married. They're divorced. He has another wife.
Which? But no kids from that wife?
Yeah, he has kids from that wife.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you one thing. I got a tip of the hat to the Muslims. Muslims, evidently a religion. I'm going to go way out on a limb here, and I'm going to say basically set up by dudes.
Yeah.
I know it sounds wacky, but I'm going to say just from my sort of thumbnail sketch of the Muslim religion, when there's a decision to be made, it seems to land on the side of the dude.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you say that, Adam. How dare you?
Yeah, I get to kill you if you cheat on me. Go ahead and put this pillowcase on your head. I can take a few wives. I can bang whoever I want. You got to be a virgin. It's just one of these things. When you sit back and really get a good look at the Muslim religion, you realize maybe set up by dudes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But you cannot judge.
No,
you can't judge. It's impossible to judge.
It's interesting, though.
Because everything's great. Nothing's bad. Only things are different. There's only different, Drew.
But a lot of the Muslim women describe themselves as happy. They like the situation as it is, which I find fascinating.
A lot of the dudes like it, yeah.
No, the women do.
Yeah, because the dude's standing behind them going, come on. Yeah.
No, I saw an interview. No, listen, I saw an interview. There was one of Bush's sort of proteges over there in Saudi Arabia trying to bring women up and, you know, empower them. And they had a bunch of physicians and attorneys in the room, females. And they all went, what makes you think we need it? We're not interested in that. We're happy the way our culture functions. We like this situation.
Right.
I thought, wow. Woo. All right.
Yeah. Well, you see it in other places. Doesn't that necessarily make it right? It's called Stockholm Syndrome, Drew. Christina?
Yes?
All right, so here's the dealio. If your parents are effed up or they're unfair or they're wacky or they're whatever, your job is to get a job and leave the house.
Yeah.
You're 19. Right. What's up?
Go to school, leave the house.
Yeah. Right? I'm trying to.
How about you just get a job and get the hell out of there?
Yeah. So, I would have to have a relationship before I could start working again?
Here's what I would say.
Yeah, it may be. It's possible that might help things quite a bit.
You're a virgin. Oh, who knows? All bets are off. Get a job. Get some independence. Get some autonomy. Get away from your oppressive parents or crazy parents or whatever they are. Get a job. Get out into society. Have a relationship.
Right.
And things will magically start to fall into place.
And we're not saying have sex. We're saying just the intimacy might help you a little bit.
Yes. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey. My fiance, she's kind of, I don't know how to say this, she's kind of got into this thing with the internet, with pornographic stuff on the internet. And she's wanting to do some crazy stuff on that she sees on it.
Like, what do you mean? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like what?
She's wanting to do, I think it's called fisting.
Oh, but sheesh.
Yeah, and
I didn't know if, one, if it was going to be safe to do, or two, what do I need to really do it, to be correct to do it? I don't want to, and I can't find no instructions online to do it.
Why do I get this feeling this is something he wants to do? Is this just a ruse for getting the information out of us?
I think he wants to make a bogus call is what Sam wants to do.
No, afraid not. Because I've already tried doing the, somebody told me online it was multiple toys or something, but she's actually wanting to do it, and I'm kind of scared to do it.
What do you mean multiple toys? What does that mean?
He said fisting a second ago.
Yeah, two toys in one.
What does that mean?
In other words, like stretching it.
I see. So you can then do the hand, right?
Right. That's the closest I've gotten, but I really don't want to do too much because I'm, you know, I like to have children later, and I don't want to really mess her up. I don't know if I need to go to the doctor to talk to them, or where would I need to go?
Well, yeah, go to the doctor. Yeah, thanks, Doc. Are you a fisting doctor or felching specialist, or what do you do? Oh, okay. Well, you handle the cooch, though, right? Okay, good. Yeah, wife's vagina's out in the car. I brought it here. I'm thinking about fisting. Is that something I should be doing? There ain't no instructions on fisting. You know, you go through high school, they teach you about horticulture and psychology and history, but there ain't no classes on fisting. So I'm fixing a fist. And I don't want to, you know, fist her so much that, you know, kid come falling out when he's 4 weeks old. You know what I mean? I don't want to have the fishing party go south on me. I got multiple tools, though, you know, making room for the fist. And she wants a good fisting. And I seen it on the internet, but there ain't no instructions on fisting. They got books on everything. They got Mac for dummies. They got Volkswagen repair for dummies. They got everything for dummies. They got no fisting for dummies.
They got fisting for fools.
They got fisting for fools. I heard that. That's on KLSX. That's a weekend show. Fisting for fools. It's awesome. But I don't know how to be fit. I don't know how to be fishing. I'm just scared. I'm either going to hurt her or I'm going to hurt a knuckle. So what about, Doc? Is there some kind of fishing advice you can give me?
So any doctor you go see, what's his name?
Sam. Mm-hmm.
Sam, any doctor you go see is not going to allow you or tell you to do this. Obviously, you know, you can hurt yourself with this. It's not as though, mostly it's about tearing and causing trauma to the vagina and the opening of the vagina. You're not going to cause uterine dysfunction or cervical dysfunction with this stuff. Mm. So it doesn't have anything to do with childbearing.
Right.
Now, if I'm holding a cigarette, should I put it in the other hand?
Yeah, that'd be good, Sam.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Now, I got a pretty good-sized class ring because we took state my freshman year. Should I go ahead and take that off?
Well, yeah, that might be a good idea, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, can get your nails trimmed down a bit?
Well, I keep my pinky one long for Coke.
I know, but...
Now, should I tuck that in?
Yeah.
Okay, now supposing I'm holding the TV remote.
You should leave that behind.
Put that down or put it in the other hand?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what if I had a waffle iron in my right hand, and I was fixing to do some fishing? So go ahead and unplug that or just put it down?
Both.
I'll plug it and go ahead and set it down then?
Yes, definitely both.
Okay. And what if my right hand was covered with fire ants?
Those might be interesting, but no.
Go ahead and wipe that off?
Yeah.
Okay, and what if my sleeve had been dipped in muriatic acid?
You want to take that sleeve away, yeah. Keep that sleeve away from the vagina, yeah.
Okay, and what if I had one of those Zodiac inflatable rafts in my right hand where you pull that ripcord and they blow up that way? Should I go ahead and set that down?
That'd be hysterical. It'd be too funny. So you want to include that. I mean, that's every classic 70s. If we were doing this in the 70s, they would insist you do this.
And what if I was holding an actual Fabergé egg in my right hand? Not a reproduction, but an actual Fabergé egg from one of the czar's own. Should I put that down?
You could put that down. It would show how much you loved your wife.
Mm-hmm. And what if I was holding one of those conch shells? Those ones are all pony. I figured that could hurt.
Yeah, that could hurt.
With the conch shell, it's got some sharp edges on it.
Yeah, and don't try doing that shofar routine with it either.
Let the neighbors know the fisting's going to begin. Did he really have a question, Drew?
I'm afraid he did.
He's 28.
Okay, I think he did.
I think you could learn about fisting on the internet.
You probably could. You probably could. If you looked it up. Yeah.
All right. Michelle's going to try to look up fisting.
Yeah.
On the
website. Oh, Michelle. I mean, she doesn't know it already?
She does. She's just playing stupid.
She's pretending.
She has to go look it up.
She's going to her favorite site. Okay.
So, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't fist her. She's your lady now. Shouldn't be fisting your lady.
That's why I'm scared to do it.
Good. Yeah. That's a healthy fear. Good.
No one ever writes, you know, be nice for the nice black soul group sung a song from the 70s. Gotta be fisting my lady and a very fisty girl. Don't ever write a song about fisting. There's a site that tells you how to fist?
Okay,
gotta
Sam,
be fisting my lady, cause I'm gonna be fisting on top of the world. Fisting on top of the world.
Oh, just
smooth stylings.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pimps, OJs. All right, Drew, let's take a little break.
Wonderful idea.
When we come back, hasn't had sex in a year. Tries to avoid it. Allison, married, hasn't had sex in a year. Tries to avoid it. Why?
We'll see.
Only had a menstrual cycle. Gets sick to his stomach, needs to gag himself.
Ew.
Anxiety
What's
issues.
What's going on tonight? What's going on
talk
here?
We'll talk to Allison when we get back about being married, not having sex for a year. All that after this.
Loveline's phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew calling from Phoenix?
Yep.
Daughter's in a ice skating competition over there?
Yeah.
She's doing that tomorrow?
Yep.
What category is she in?
Juvenile.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
it? Listen, there's like 90 categories. It's crazy, all the categories.
I know, don't they have...
Pre-juvenile, juvenile, intermediate.
11 and 12 expert, 11 and 12 intermediate.
No, then it's like ladies and ladies. And it's just, it keeps going. It's crazy.
Do they have powder puff division?
No.
Yeah. Used to be if you were a girl and you were in a sport, they gave you a slightly demeaning name.
Yeah.
Made it kind of fun. Call you something at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's a husky at. And then, or there'd be the powder puff division. Like if you rode dirt bikes and the chick division would be the powder puff division. That's my thing. No demeaning names anymore for chick sports. Let's see if we can work on that, huh, Drew?
All right, let's go.
Erica?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I have amenorrhea, and I've only had my period twice in my life.
Mm. Interesting. And what does it do to?
What?
Why do you have amenorrhea?
I don't know. They won't tell me. They don't want to figure it out yet, I guess. I don't know. My doctors aren't telling me anything.
There's volition in this? They don't want to figure it out?
Mm-hmm. No, well, I don't know if they don't want to figure it out. But
they're punishing her.
Yes, they're not able to figure it out, which I'm sure they explain to you usually means there's some problem with the cycling mechanism.
Uh-huh.
Let me say this, Drew. I know it's subtle. I know it's subtle, but what is that part where people have to sort of become a victim? You know, place blame, like just in the way they word it. It's like they don't want to figure it out.
It's not subtle.
They
never tell me anything, and yet you say, "What did they explain to you? There's abnormality of cycling." Yeah, they did explain it to you. That's the problem.
They don't want to figure it out yet. Like, what are you talking about? And how narcissistic is that? That there's some sort of plot, like you're Hitler, and they're trying to assassinate your vagina.
Right.
Write that down, Drew. That's another good movie
idea.
It's
a great idea.
Assassinate. Hunt for Hitler's vagina. Fist, mein fist.
Also, Red October. Hunt for Red October.
Hunt for Red, mein fist. But here's the point. Either they don't know or you're saying something, but it's like they don't want to tell me it's a weird victim thing or a weird plot thing.
Right.
Everyone with this sort of thing, like people get hit by somebody rolls in and hits them behind them in their car, and they're like, that person rammed me.
Yeah, he tried
you know that kind of stuff. Like,
aim for me and rammed.
Right. Here's the thing, everyone. Please understand. Nobody knows you're alive, but you.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody but you and your crappy parents. Stop acting like the world is plotting against you. And it's just a big a form of narcissism, maybe even bigger, to think the world is plotting against you than think the world loves you.
Well, it's one of the outcomes of abuse is that when somebody's being abused, the young mind cannot tolerate true helplessness. The being completely powerless is unacceptable. So you flip it. You go, if your dad's beating you with a belt, you flip that into, I caused this situation. This perfect person knows what I need, and I'm making it happen. And then they go out in the world expecting that all the time. They're being in control of everything, expecting everything they do causes bad things to happen to them.
Erica?
Yes.
Sorry about Drew's rant there. Okay. All right, so they won't tell you what's going on with your vagina.
Not really that they won't tell me. It's just that they said that it's not time to figure out why. They said that they want to wait until I'm 21, which is like 3 months away. Mm-hmm. And
why 21?
I don't know. That was just the number she gave me, that they don't worry about until I'm 21, they said. But
are you overweight?
I'm sorry?
Are you overweight?
A little bit, yeah.
That's one of the things that can suppress cycling. Do you have polycystic ovaries?
By the way, I'm sorry. This means yes, I'm overweight. She's apologizing for being fat, Drew. You misunderstood.
Okay. You're fat. I got it.
She's like, I'm sorry.
See, I understood.
Oh, okay. How much do you weigh?
200.
And that's not much. And how tall are you?
5'6".
All right. So you're a little bit overweight. Okay. And anything up
you're
from
overweight.
The past that we need to know about?
No.
All right. So what else, Drew?
So do you have polycystic ovaries?
No.
That's been checked into?
Yeah. They've done some tests so far, like preliminary tests and everything. The only thing that they said is that I have polyps on one ovary, but that was normal, they said.
Mm-hmm. Cysts, you mean? Not polyps. Cysts?
No, polyps, mm-hmm. they said.
Okay.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
What's up? You a virgin?
Yeah. That's a whole
other. What's up? You want to get a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You do? You're calling from Phoenix?
Yes.
Well, Drew's in town.
Over here on Central Avenue.
Over here in Central. In the neighborhood?
No, I'm actually in Chandler.
All right. Well, it might be worth it to hop in that Taurus and pay a visit to the man of passion.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah, here's the thing, Erica. You need to lose a couple pounds and find yourself a man.
Yeah, and the
how about that?
The very, very rare periods may not mean anything. They may not need any treatment. They may put you on a pill or something to kind of get the cycling going. When fertility time comes around, there may be some things that have to be dealt with, but it's not as though it's a major health issue at this point. Okay.
Right. What about getting a boyfriend?
What about it?
Well, what's up?
Nothing. I've never actually been in a relationship before. So.
How come?
I don't know. Led a sheltered life, I guess you could say.
Well, leading a sheltered life is usually a good thing, but yeah. I don't think this is a good thing.
It sounds sort of imposed, sheltered life. Like self-imposed.
Yeah. What's going on? Where's your dad?
He's at home.
Mm-hmm. All right. And everything's cool?
Oh, yeah. Everything's
well,
fine.
Well, why don't you drop a couple pounds and get a boyfriend?
I don't know. I've tried before, but, I mean, I don't know.
For your overall health, get a dietitian, get some exercise going. Come on. You're not in a healthy range.
Get on
you're
the nose not. Candy. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, baby. All
there
right.
we go.
All right.
Good times.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing you can do. I know it sounds, I mean, look, maybe I shouldn't pry, but you're 20, you're 200 pounds. And by the way, that's 200 pounds on the radio. That's probably a little more like 212.
Yeah.
And you're 20 years old. Yeah. You're calling from a very warm, weathered place. And you're dragging around an extra 60 pounds. Go ahead and work on that. Get yourself a guy and start living your life. What's up? I know it always strikes me, Drew.
What?
Well, I mean, tell me if you agree or disagree. But you show me a 20-year-old woman who's obviously intelligent. Erica was intelligent. Her vocabulary was fine. She was educated and everything. And she's carrying around an extra 50, 60 pounds, and she's pulled herself out of the game, and she doesn't want to get back in the game.
Yeah.
Or doesn't appear eager to even put her foot on the field.
No, that's usually using the weight to insulate yourself from other people.
Yeah. I mean, what she's saying is If I get involved with a guy, I could get pregnant, I could get venereal disease, or worse yet, I could get my heart broken.
Right.
And I just don't want to do that.
That's right.
So, and it's, you know, sticking with the sports analogy, if I get out on that football field, I could get injured.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to sit here on the bench. I'll put some ice on my knee. People will walk past me when they see the ice bag, and that'll be it.
Yep.
Hopefully 4 quarters will go by pretty quickly, and I'll head to the locker room.
There you go.
Hold on. That's not a bad plan, actually. You know, I started off like I was making fun of that kind of life, and I realized, not too bad. There's not a whole lot going on that field that it results, you know, one guy scoring the touchdown. It's not going to be you.
No matter
you
what.
Know, you're probably just going to get a compound fracture, your tibula. And, you know, they'll do that thing where where they come down and look at you and then sit up and do the steering wheel thing. Get the cart. Get the cart. You see that steering wheel thing? They need to do something else for that get the cart thing. That steering wheel thing just scares me.
Yeah, they should do that sort of that when you put your index finger in the air and circle it around.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
That looks more upbeat.
Yeah, it's like you're partying. You're having a party on the you know, it's like New Year's Eve. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, that wheel thing. Get the wheel. That's bad. When that guy comes out there in the Cushman, there's trouble.
When you separate your shoulder, how were you hold off the field?
When I separated my shoulder playing football, they didn't have one of those carts. Although the guy still did it for 20 minutes. Still sitting over and did the cart thing until someone actually pointed out. Don? Yeah. No cart. It's no cart. Stop doing the wheel thing. They called an ambulance. They left me on the middle of the field. And they called an ambulance. And they wouldn't move me off the field. And they stopped the game. And they told each team just to go to their end zone and go sit around. Or go to their locker room or whatever, wherever they went, they just split. And the ambulance showed up like half hour later.
I mean, the end game just ended. The team split?
Mm-hmm. No, it was somewhere near halftime. Mm. And what they did is they just called an early halftime. And by the way, here's how you know you have a bad football injury. When they stop the game and call halftime.
Never actually seen that done before.
I never seen it done either. Now, obviously, if you don't have one of those carts and you don't have paramedics and someone has the kind of injury where the person really shouldn't be moved, like, there's no way a bunch of dads are going to drag some kid whose shoulder looks like it's poking through his skin out, you know. There's no dad got huevos enough to, you know, these guys are school teachers and own their own shipping companies. They're not going to take some kid who looks like he needs to be, you know, put in some kind of neck restraint or something,
right,
and carry him off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just left me there. I mean, they didn't leave me there. They just hung there with me, and they called an ambulance, and they rolled a gurney. They rolled the gurney out. Jeez. Got me onto the gurney. But they called that early halftime.
Nice.
Yeah. I never really thought about that, but how many people can claim you had an injury in a football game where they stopped the game and left you in the middle of the field?
Soosh.
Yeah. No, that wasn't one of those like, hey, we'll help you up, son, and we'll get you over to the sideline here. We'll wait for the guy to come. That was, they cut my jersey off, they cut my shoulder pads off, and they called an ambulance, and I just sat there until the ambulance came. And it took a good half hour.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good times. You know what I remember very specifically?
Yeah.
Running over the speed bumps, the parking bumps in the parking lot in the back of the ambulance, and wincing in pain every time the ambulance hit one of these bumps. Seemed like there's 100 of them. Yeah. Let me say this. I was on my way to this radio station, one we're at now, a couple mornings ago, sliding down a side street. Was it one of those side streets that people sort of use to, you know, run parallel with and make up a little time in traffic, so they put the bump, speed bump in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was labeled. It was not labeled bump. It was labeled hump.
Speed hump?
It just said hump. It's like a declaration.
And
it was
order.
Funny. It was funny because on the way back, I ran down an old street, and that one said bump. And it was the same thing, and one was 20 years old, and the other's, you know, 20 minutes old. Somebody decided that it should change from bump to hump. And I'm sure that cost us 150 grand somehow. But really, that's the kind of time the city has? They're going to redefine hump and bump?
Wonderful.
They've got the converse sign going, or the inverse sign going too, which is a dip.
Yeah, well, dip I understand, and bump I understand, but hump I'm not so sure about. All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
No, we got to take the call first.
Really? Time to take a break, buddy.
All right.
Yeah, someone's pregnant
next
has
call
HPV.
What?
Hmm? Pregnant HPV?
Ooh,
Sarah.
Yeah.
You have you have the warts and you're pregnant?
Well, not really the warts. They just said it was a human papilloma virus.
Which is the wart virus. That is the wart virus.
Well, I haven't gotten any warts, so.
You haven't seen any warts, but
no.
they're there. You know, there was a huge announcement today about the Merck and Glaxo vaccines against the wart virus that by 2006, I bet you by the summer, next summer, we're going to have this vaccine out. And Adam.
I'm going to go hog wild.
It's going to eliminate HPV as an issue.
Wild.
It's 100% effective in preventing the transmission and from catching the virus that causes cervical cancer, which is what we're talking about here, HPV. Oh. And what I find curious is what are the anti-condom people going to hang on then? Because that's the point of contention. Well, it's not 100% effective against HPV, so how can we suggest condoms are a good thing?
Oh, believe me, they'll stick with it. I'm just looking forward to the commercials with the chicks, hot little chick, kickboxing, alone in a gym with the spotlight on her.
Fields of wheat,
all those great commercials, hot chicks doing stuff independently.
And they're dressed in like a jumpsuit kind of.
Flowing, a lot of wind blown. All right, hold on a second, Sarah. We got to take a break. So she's pregnant. She's got the HPV. We'll find out. Drew, you'll tell us the implications and the complications of that. All that after this.
Loveline will be right back.
Yeah, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Back right, to now, warts.
Drew in Arizona tonight. Sarah.
Yeah.
20. Sarah?
Yeah.
Preggers. Got the HPV.
Uh-huh.
You have a man?
Yes.
Are you married?
No. We've been together for like 5 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Huh?
You gonna get married?
In like another 3 years.
All right. Take it slow. Don't rush into anything. You're not ready. Not ready for that responsibility yet.
As compared to a child, which is it's only 18 years. What are you gonna do?
Oh, I have another one.
Oh well, of course. Well then, how dare I? Forgive me.
All right.
Yeah,
listen.
I have a 3-year-old.
Okay. Hold on a second, Drew. Now I know. I know Mo for the last 41 on these.
I'm pretty intuitive.
You have to admit, I'm somewhere between lucky and intuitive on almost all my guessing.
You're going to get this one.
Okay.
This is not guessing. This is telling.
She calling what part of Arizona? Where are you calling from, Sarah? What part of Arizona?
Mesa.
Where?
Mesa.
Okay, that's... Okay, now that's it. She's calling from Mesa. She's got a couple of kids. She's been with a guy. She's not married to him. She's got HPV. She's pregnant. Jewish, right, Sarah, please?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What could
that be? My God. I'm so right. Almost everything else with the father welding and all that and the abuse stuff. Even Germany or Florida, I'm 80% on, but... Boy, this one I've been off every single time. Wow. All right. I'm sorry. Japanese?
Filipino.
Oh.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh. Little curveball there. All right. All right. So now what about her having HPV, Drew?
What about
can the kid what is any present any danger to the kid?
I don't think so. I'm not an obstetrician, but I really doubt that would be a significant issue given that this is something that I dare say most people have. You don't hear about a lot of problems in childbirth, right? Or you don't hear about a sudden spike in cesarean sections to avoid it. It's not a big deal. The issue is that with you, causing cervical cancer. And again, it's the virus that is persistent, certain subtypes of the HPV that causes the cancer. So you need to get your pap smear done very, very regularly.
What's your man do? What's your man do, Sarah?
He works security.
Maybe you should slow down on the kids a little bit until he gets a job that pays.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
I'm working for, actually, I got a pretty good paying job right now, too. So, right. I mean, we're doing pretty fine for where we are right now.
All right, but someone's going to have to take care of the kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi there, baby doll.
Whatever.
Here's all I'm saying, everybody. I know people are pretty casual.
Mr. Man, yeah. Whatever.
No. He's making $6.75 an hour. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about having a third. Why put yourself behind that eight ball, everybody? Why hobble yourself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not have a little more money than you need?
You get two commas like Adam.
Yeah. Literally a millionaire. No, but here's the thing, Drew. Let me tell you something about kids and all that. People always talk about, well, you want enough money, you want to send your kid to the right school, you want to be able to, educate them and get them the medical care they need and all that kind of stuff. You know what probably the biggest danger to a young child is for parents that don't have money? It's probably the car they're driving.
Yeah.
Because you're driving around 87 Mitsubishi mini pickup truck with a bench seat and no airbags, and mom is holding the baby in her arms in the passenger seat, and there ain't no crumple zones, and there ain't no nothing, and that's probably how you buy it when you're poor. That's probably the number one thing that costs you. You're driving a car that's 20 years old. You don't got no crunch zones, no airbags, nothing like that, and that's how your kid is going to get it. You ever think about that, Drew?
Yeah. No, I do think about that. I think about the kinds of stress and preoccupations and the fact that people don't take necessary precautions and take care of themselves. I mean, there's a lot of issues just like that.
All right.
It's a probability equation. You put yourself in the probable category for trouble.
Right. You put yourself in a crappy neighborhood in a crappy apartment, and you got a dude underneath you who's cooking meth. Yeah. And your kids are sleeping in the room above him. That's what you do when you don't have a couple of bucks and you start cranking out a bunch of kids. All right, where are we, Drew?
I don't know.
Paint a rosy picture, don't I?
Yeah, so upbeat, lifting.
Bladder has fallen into cervix.
I think that happened.
I'm almost sure that happened to me.
I'll tell you about it in just a second. Let's hear her situation.
Needs to gag himself to feel better.
No, I want to hear about the bladder falling.
Has anxiety issues, can't even see doctor, steals pills. All right, you want to hear about that? Because I swear I've had that. Mariah?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yep.
Your bladder's fallen into your cervix?
Yeah, I don't really think that's quite happened to you, but okay.
First off, you don't know what's going on inside of me, okay?
I would hope not. It's not a person's
Okay. Okay, I think I know a little better, just a little better, what's going on inside of me, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, Drew.
Well, that comes from having babies, right?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's a reason that some women prefer to have cesarean sections is that when you have a few babies, it rips apart your pelvis. In fact, in Africa right now, because they're not getting a lot of good medical care, the sort of consequences of true natural childbirth are coming to bear, and people have rectovaginal fistulas, and they have tears that never heal, and it's just a mess.
Well,
and in the best of situations, what you get is something called a rectocele, or what's the bladder one called? A cystocele. And in which case, basically, the vagina sort of gets stretched out, and either the rectum or the bladder descend into the cavity, into the vagina.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't want to bring up Africa. I'm still angry at them for, them turning their back on us when New Orleans was flooding a few weeks back. That country turned their back on us. They turned their back on us. Do you understand, Drew?
Just the way we turned our back.
We had flooding. We had people displaced, people on roofs, people that were hungry, people that were living in shelters and squalor and horrible conditions. Africa, they turned their back on us. Yeah. See how crazy it sounds when other people say we turn our back on their country?
Yeah.
Go ahead and try that with the United States in another country. See how good it sounds. Africa, turn their back on us. Turn their back on us. Mississippi, Louisiana, underwater. And what's Africa do? They turn their back on us. I'll not soon forgive Africa for turning their back on us. 9/11, they turn their back on us. Race riots, they turn their back on us. I'm forgiving that Africa. They turn their back on us, Drew.
Yeah.
Mariah? Yeah, it sounds crazy. How come we're the only country that can turn our back on another country? Mexico, turn their back on us, Drew. They turn their back on us. How come we're the only ones that get to turn our backs on anyone?
It's a privilege. It's a mitzvah.
Yeah. All right. Tell Mariah what to do.
Well, it's an operation. There's a few different operations for that, and they're quite successful. Are you having incontinence where if you cough or laugh and you pee?
Yeah.
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 Are you having
all the wonderful stuff? Yeah.
Do you have orgasmic incontinence?
I think I have once or twice.
That can be pretty. People get pretty upset about that one. And yeah, it's something that needs to be repaired. There are medications for it as well, but there may be some Kegel exercises, that kind of thing. But once things are torn apart down there, really the only solution is surgery. So you're young to be having this. It's something you can look forward to getting worse as you get older. Eventually, not only does the rectum and the bladder descend into the vagina, but the uterus itself falls out.
That's what happened to me.
You get uterine prolapse.
All right.
And that's all good times.
Listen, Drew, I'm steamed at what Africa did. How they turned their back on us, Katrina. Whew, I'm angry, buddy. I got to take a cool down period.
All right, let's do that.
I'll not soon forget this. We'll be right back after this. Everybody. Woo! Yeah. Get it on. Get it on. Woo! Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew calling in from Phoenix tonight. Where are you in Phoenix, Drew?
Central Avenue.
Are you at a radio station?
I'm at a radio station, yeah.
How far are you from the hotel?
From where I live? Where I'm staying? Oh, half hour. I was in Scottsdale. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. What, you got a rental car?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys going to spend the weekend out there?
I'm coming back Saturday, yeah.
Saturday. So you could spend tomorrow there.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Go out to dinner.
Yeah.
You got all the kids there?
No. The boys didn't want to go.
Yeah. Can you blame them?
No.
You want to go to your sister's ice skating competition in Phoenix? I think I'll stay home and masturbate. I mean, did I say that out loud? I meant stay home and study. I said study, didn't I?
Study, yeah, you said study. I heard study anyway. I heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you meant that, but I heard study.
Yeah, boys don't need that. So what division is Paulina in?
Juvenile.
That's it, just juvenile.
Yeah.
Not expert or novice or anything?
No, didn't we have this guy? Are you high tonight?
No, I know you brought it up, but you didn't say anything other than just juvenile.
No, I did. I said that the levels are very bizarre. It's like intermediate and ladies and pre and pre this and pre that. And
no, but they just juvenile just means there's under 18 and you skate with everyone who's under 18.
I think once you get to the highest level, it's called ladies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got crazy names for each level.
All right, what are the levels? You know, like Gremlin, Tiny Mite. Pee-wee.
I mean, there was an alpha and a pre-alpha, and it's all kinds of crazy names.
What move is she going to try to pull off tomorrow? Does she have is there something she's going to try that she
double,
might not get away with?
There's like a double toe combo or something, or double sow, double loop.
What? You know the sow cow?
Yeah.
It's called a sow cow?
Yeah.
Like a female pig and a female cow.
I think sow cow was like an Austrian skater at the turn of the century or something. Just somebody's name.
Oh, it's a horrible name. It makes me think fecal matter and farm. Sow cow.
But then everything sort of triggers that in your mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, you say incense. Yeah. I think fecal matter and farm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Married, hasn't had sex in a year and tries to avoid it. Oh, yeah. Wasn't that the one we were going to talk to?
Yep.
Allison?
Uh-huh.
You're 28.
Yeah.
You've been married for how long?
Almost 2 years.
And you haven't had sex for a year?
not exactly a year, like maybe 7 or 8 months. And before that, it was sparse anyway. It was like maybe once every couple months.
Has it always been that way in your relationship?
In the very beginning when we met, the relationship was more friendship-oriented.
All right. And what'd your dad do to you?
Nothing.
Everything's cool?
Yeah.
Why do you sound so depressed?
I guess because I'm not happy with the state of the relationship.
She's having sex only once a year. But be that as it may, there's something obviously terribly wrong with this relationship, so tell us about that.
That's the part that's kind of difficult because I love him very much, and I know he...
Just tell us what's wrong with the relationship. What's going on?
Love of Christ. Here's the thing. She ain't into him. He's not a bad boy.
No, I don't feel that at all. I just feel that he's just not... There's no relationship. He's just checked out. Mm. She would be in if he were available. He's not there.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I guess there's...
There's somebody else?
For him or for me?
I don't know. Just start talking, would you, goofball? I'm tired of ringing you idiots like a sponge.
Go ahead.
So you guys haven't had sex in a year? It's more like 7 months. Let's go, baby. I don't care enough to ring you. You understand? Let's go. Let's pick it up. Here we go now.
Break it down.
We're going to start asking you questions. You're going to start giving us answers.
Ask questions and I'll answer them.
All right. But don't give the big groan in the drag. Just spit it out. Do you think he's seeing somebody else?
No, I don't.
No. Okay. Are you
interested in someone else?
I was for a while.
Because there was just nothing in this relationship?
Yeah.
Why is there nothing in this relationship? Why?
I don't know.
You said it was a friendship before.
That's how it started.
And then it became sexual?
Right.
And then
we got married.
Why did you rush? How old are you?
I'm 28.
Why? Well, you say it was a friendship. I mean, it feels like there's always been a component missing. And I'm going to go back to the, this guy just ain't flipping your cookie. He's a good guy. He's the kind of guy you wish you were more into, but you're just not that into him.
Is it that?
Yeah.
Because that's a different situation.
Okay, so Allison, let's just try to get on the same page here. Drew is saying he's checked out. He's not into the relationship. I'm taking another angle, which is this guy was a friend of yours. You ended up getting married to him, and now you sort of realize he's just a friend. You love him. He's a good guy. You wish you were more into him physically, and a woman needs to be into a guy for reasons that are not always clear to, scholars.
Yeah.
Or good, but whatever it is, he is not floating your boat. Is that true?
Not that way, but he's...
Not that way, yes. And women always get... Hold on a second. They always get real apologetic about it, and they get evasive about it. They're always like, oh, no, but I love him. I know, but he doesn't float your boat. But he's a great guy.
I know,
but you have no feelings for him. You should see how he is around kids.
Yeah.
I know, but it's not there. That thing, that spark, that thing Drew has for everything that moves, not there for you and him.
Right.
Is he wanting to have sex more than once every 7 months?
That's part of it, too, is since the very beginning, was hard for me to know. I didn't even know he was attracted to me in the beginning. He's sort of passive.
Mm-mm.
And it just gets boring to have to initiate. And
you're angry about that.
Something. Well, Allison, do you want a guy who's more...
I just stopped trying.
Do you want a guy who's more exciting or more passionate or more whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But the question is we're trying to figure this out. Are you one of these girls who sort of wants a bad boy and this guy's a boring boy?
But usually that means you've had some brutality in your previous relationships. Then you turn to the good guy because you should be with the good guy, but you can't hang with it.
Yeah. Have you had boyfriends in the past that were sort of dangerous and exciting?
Not dangerous. I wouldn't call them bad boys, but I mean, I know what it's like to be with someone I'm really, really attracted to.
Why did you marry somebody you're not really, really attracted to?
Because he had other qualities that I guess at the time I thought...
All right, let me explain. Drew, it's interesting.
Yeah. I
when
can't
Allison
get it.
Says it, but no, here's what happens. Please listen up, ladies. And it's funny, Allison is about that age. All chicks like the dangerous guy.
Yeah,
that's why whenever you go out and shoot Melrose Place and you cast the part of Lucky, he's not a chubby red-haired guy who rides a moped and works at the Cinnabon.
Right.
He's the guy who never shaves, who's got the, he's always troubled, he rides the Harley, he's got the leather jacket, he's a loner, nobody can reach him, man, if I could just get to him, but I can't make him understand, and no one will ever know him.
Yeah.
That guy, that quiet guy with the cleft in his chin, that's that guy. That's the mysterious man. Not dangerous in, I'm going to stab you when you're asleep dangerous, but dangerous in, I'll have a few boozes and get into a brawl every once in a while, or sometimes I just need time to think, man, so I get on my bike and I ride. That's that guy. Now, that's what all chicks are into. Whether you were abused or not, you're into that guy when you're 17. Hopefully, somewhere around 24, 25, you realize that ain't a great guy to marry. The guy just has to hop on his bike and ride every time you guys get into an argument.
Ramble.
Because the rambling, man, because you have bills to pay, kids to raise, and a roof that's leaking. So somewhere in your mid-20s as a chick, you realize, it'd be nice just to have a guy who's a little more settled, the guy who pays the bills, the guy who comes home to me every night, and it's not quite as exciting, but on the other hand, a little more stable. Sometimes women don't give up that ghost too easily, and it doesn't happen until they're 30, early 30s or something. But somehow at age 26, 27, they decide, you know what? I'm going to get married. This guy's stable. This guy's a solid guy, and I'm going to marry him, and I'm going to force myself into a steady relationship. And then a year into it, they're bored. They miss the excitement. It ain't out of them yet. They're not done. They're like an athlete that retired too soon.
Or you've had some intimacy problems and can't tolerate the closeness of an available person, and you have to screw it up.
Yeah. You know what? I got to get on my bike, man, because I got to think. And the only time I feel, the only time I'm free, Drew, is when I'm on the open road.
I'm looking at a poster, believe it or not, of Easy Rider right now.
It's the only time
poster.
I'm free, man.
Gotta be free. Gotta be free to be what we want to do.
That's right, man.
Anderson, do you have that?
What you want to do.
Here it is.
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Yeah. Peter Fonda.
We're going to get loaded.
We're going to be free to do what we're going to do. We're going to get high. We're going to get loaded.
Yeah, if you want to know what growing up with my mom was like, that was about it.
That was your mom talking.
She wanted to be free to do everything but work and cook. That's right.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, let me define party. Her and her friend Pat Sunshine sitting on a broken down rattan chair in the backyard smoking spleef all day. Allison.
Uh-huh.
Where's your dad?
I have a great dad.
Did he cheat on your mom?
No. My parents are still married. They're together.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
All right, here's the problem. This guy ain't floating your boat, and maybe you ain't floating his boat, and maybe this is why friends shouldn't get married.
I must tell you, there's just more going on here than I can get my head
around. I totally agree, but Allison is too slow and too angry to talk to, so we're going to move ahead. There's a reason you're angry, and I don't know what it is, but I'm feeling it, baby, so there's something going on. Spidey sense is never wrong. Can always tell an angry chick, I don't know what made you angry, and I don't care. Just, do you have any kids with this guy?
No.
Good. Then break up. Even the kid got to give a little beat, too, before you give the answer. Have any kids? No. All right. You had to think about that one? You sure you don't want to check under the sofa? Might have a couple. Break up, then.
Get a divorce, you mean?
Yeah, see? Three Mississippi rule.
Can be free.
Hey, Allison, free to do what we want to do. You are pissed off. I always know you're pissed off because I'm pissed off. Yeah. You ain't into the guy. You're not having sex. You don't have any kids. You ain't into him. You married your friend. He doesn't seem like he's into you, and you are angry as hell.
Yes.
So do yourself a favor, do him a favor, and do me a favor, and call the whole thing off. You don't have any kids. What you don't want to do is get pregnant and then realize on the kid's second birthday that this ship was never meant to sail.
That's no good.
Anderson, let's hear that again. This is what the 60s and 70s were, my friend.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, where, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Well, when, baby? Let's go.
These guys are all fat and bald now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what it was, baby.
Yeah. We had Peter Fonda up on the show many years ago.
Really?
And he was
that him talking?
Yeah. He was complaining that he was known then as Bridget Fonda's dad.
Wow.
And that made him angry.
Squaresville, baby.
That was Dennis Hopper in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Hopper.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time.
And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time.
When, baby? Let's go.
We're going to have a party.
Sounds like on helium.
Sounds like it's compressed and sped up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about these movies such as Easy Rider, these classics, these treasures such as
Anderson,
Easy Rider.
Do you like that one? Anderson's a movie aficionado, you know.
Yeah, I love that film.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure if you went back, not you, Anderson.
No, I just watched it a few weeks ago.
Really? You still liked it?
It's the tragic ending that makes it really great. Without that shocking ending, it wouldn't be much of a film.
You still, it's the 2 hours before the shocking ending that you have to drag.
I think the script probably has 15 pages. It's just like long shots of them riding down the open road.
Yeah, I think people used to just get a couple grand together, get high, get a few people.
That's exactly
just go
how they made
to
that.
The desert.
Dennis Hopper goes on and on about that's how he made that film because he directed it. It was his first film.
Yeah, everyone just get a couple of grand, get a couple of lids, get a few choppers. Let's start going. Let's do it. And here's the whole thing. Back then, that movie could be in the theater. It didn't have any competition. I mean, it wasn't like it was going up against Star Wars or some Pixar job. It was going against In Search of Historic Jesus by Sun Classics International. Leonard Nimoy narrates Sun Classics International In Search of Noah's Ark. Bum, 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 bum. 2 hours and 55 minutes of like archival footage. Oh, for the love of Christ. In the same theater playing next to my house for 3 years.
You know what the biggest film was that year? It was 2001.
Oh.
But I mean, talk about boring.
Is that 69 or what?
Yeah,
what year
69.
Is that?
69.
You didn't like 2001?
No, I love it, but I'm just talking. I mean, obviously, I love it because it's Kubrick, but talk about, you know, long, long, long shots. You got to be high to watch those things.
Yeah, Drew. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get loaded.
We're going to get loaded.
We're going to have a party. Yeah.
Yeah, baby, when are we going to go?
Jerome?
Yes.
Drew hates the 60s.
Well, Drew, now,
to be fair, you don't really hate the 60s, the early and mid 60s, what you think of as the 60s, and this is how it goes, is probably 68 through 74, maybe 73.
Absolutely.
It's hard to say you hate the 70s because 70s was the disco era at the end in Reaganomics or whatever. But at the beginning, 71, 72, and the 60s, the 60s were, you know, Elvis and Beatles and all that stuff, but that's not the late 60s. So it's really, Drew, you're pretty much 69 through 73. That is your wheelhouse right there.
I really think 68, 72, but it really goes.
Oh, but I'm telling you, you didn't like 73 or 74 either. That was more badness going on.
Or 77 or 78. 78 started coming around a little bit.
Jerome?
Yes.
Drew started getting late. Jerome, you're 25.
Yeah, I had a question for Drew, actually. I was inquiring about the male birth control pill.
Yeah.
I know it's still under development now, and they said
many different things being developed. So,
and the reason I was asking is because my girlfriend has complex partial seizures.
Yeah.
The medication that she's on, her gynecologist told her that if she were to go on birth control, she would need a massive dose of it in order for it to be effective.
Of the birth control pill?
Correct.
Yeah.
And we've also looked into the patch and everything, but obviously the doses
same thing.
Needed aren't high enough.
Same thing, yeah.
And I was just inquiring because, you know, obviously we use condoms right now.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do yet to participate in all this.
Okay.
Strangely, we've left this all. You stay with the condoms.
Yeah.
I mean, there are barriers for her too, the sponges and caps and rings and things, but you know, the condoms should be part of the mechanism you use, in my opinion.
Yeah. I worry about the male birth control pill because I think there's going to be a lot of guys saying they're on it
and then don't take it.
Or never did.
Right. Right. Pretending.
Yeah, I'm on. Yeah, I mean, here's the whole thing. You're going to have to do something where there's going to be some means of certification. Like, it's going to have to turn one earlobe blue or something, or you're going to have to get some sort of stamp on you, branded into you or something. You can't just say you're on it.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of guys not pulling out saying, don't worry about it, baby. A lot of venereal diseases flying around. I'm not sure if this is going to be a windfall for society. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to take 500 years for guys to get used to taking a pill every day and as it pertains to birth control. Okay, Drew, I'm going to take that nostril sound of yours as a knowing nod.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, buddy. That's good. Yeah, no. Two quick exhales means no, but a long, slow one means yes with Drew. Like, you hear. That's, he disagrees, but if you hear...
Mm-hmm.
That means he's right on board.
Or I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Drew, you really open a radio school? first, and I can see you talking to your students, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I'd like to do a speed round, I'd like to do a lightning round." You're like, "Buddy, you have not mastered punching the microphone yet. What makes you think you're ready for a lightning round?
Right.
Get back, work on the fundamentals." And he's like, "Well, yeah, I think I'm pretty good." You're good at punching the mic with your fist, but what about using tools like coffee mugs and cell phones and things like that? Okay. And then you master that, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I think I'm ready to do a speed round." And, "Listen, son, how many CD jewel cases have you broken on the air?" That's what I thought. Get back in there. It's going to be awesome, Drew. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Love Line. We'll be right back.
Dr. Drew.
Oh, is that me?
No, that's me.
Oh, right.
I'm the blowhard, buddy.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You've been blowing pretty hard tonight.
Not blow hard, baby. This is blowing hard to Michelle.
Doesn't about break. What?
Oh, yeah. You know,
the usual.
Can blow hard about anything. Mm-hmm. Phone number 1-800-LOVE 191er. Whoo.
But you don't bust the chops of your employees. We established that last night.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anderson probably thinks I bust his chops.
Balls.
Balls. But what Anderson doesn't realize is he's just like a nail that's sticking up that gets hammered. If he would just stay flush with the wood like all the other nails, he wouldn't get hit with the hammer.
I was flush when I came in. When you started breaking those balls, I came flush. Up a little bit and then a little bit more.
Flush means high to Anderson. All right, where are we? Get sick to his stomach and needs. Yeah, let's talk to this guy. Jonathan.
Yes.
21.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, about three, Okay, maybe about going on 4 years about. I started getting sick.
Hold on. Drew, are you building a jungle gym over there?
Changing chairs.
What?
What about the last 5 minutes you had to change your chair?
I know.
Hold on.
It became an urgent matter.
Michelle, may I tell you how right Drew is horrible right now? That's it. She's laughing now. All right. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay. About 3, going on 4 years ago, I just out of nowhere started getting sick to my stomach. Originally, I thought I was just getting stomach flu. All right, maybe have to vomit, whatever. However, it persisted. I just kept getting sick, and the only way I ever feel better is to purge myself, you know, more or less make myself vomit. Sometimes mm-hmm. it comes naturally. I just need to vomit. I just feel sick to my stomach. Other times, I more or less have to force myself. I have to gag myself and vomit.
How long has this been going on for?
I'm sorry, going on 4 years.
Drew, what's going on?
Can you get
there
on the mic that works?
Oh, this mic isn't working? What's happening?
It sounds like you rolled your chair back to a dead mic.
Oh, great.
I'm sorry?
It's the same mic. Same mic I've been
using. Really? And you're on it?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hold on. Oh, there we go. All right.
Were you on the wrong mic, Drew?
You don't even want to know.
He was talking into a mop handle.
Ah.
Drew's not real sharp.
Could he repeat that, please?
He was actually using a toilet brush. He was talking to a toilet brush.
It's been 4.5 years, right?
That's right.
And have you been evaluated for this?
I actually went to my doctor. He said that it's totally normal. You know, if it stops, okay. If it continues, then don't worry about it.
How long? Don't worry about it? Wait. He told you if it stops, don't worry about it. If it continues, what?
Oh, he said if it stops, then it'll stop. He said, if it continues, don't worry about it. It'll eventually stop.
When did he tell you that? How long ago?
About maybe 2 years ago.
Okay. He didn't mean wait another 2 years. He meant in a couple of weeks, it'll stop.
Well, I have seen my doctor recently, and he more or less, he sounded as though he didn't believe me that it had continued.
You need to see a gastroenterologist. You need an endoscopy. You need an ultrasound to make sure your gallbladder is clear. You need a medical evaluation. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
Ridiculous. You may have gastric outlet obstructions. A lot of different things can be going on here. Yeah. You need this taken care of. This is not okay.
You're saying this is okay?
Not okay.
Not okay. Okay. Just heard the okay part. That's all I heard. Meredith?
Yes.
21.
Yes.
Your friend's fiance groped you?
Gee.
Well, I was asleep and then I woke up and he's like groping me and stuff and I just kind of rolled over and just like sprawled my legs all over my boyfriend and stuff. And at one point he actually kind of, sodomized me, but for like 3 seconds it didn't go in. Like, anyways, and I rolled my back and then there was like, that was the end of it, basically. And so now he's in AA, I guess, is what they're telling me.
Good.
And I just don't...
Hold on 1 second. Sodomized, Drew.
Yeah, yes.
The now, most people think of that as, you know, anal penetration.
I do.
And I know you do, too. I think it's defined as almost any kind of... I think you could sodomize one's vagina with one's fingers.
From it's any kind of unwanted entry or something?
There's a sort of thing that's involved that you look at sodomy is strictly the domain of the ani, and it is not. It has a broader definition than that, as I recall. Meredith?
I'm looking it up.
Yes.
Okay, but when you say sodomized, do you mean he put his penis in your arse?
Basically, like, the tip. I mean, like, come on now. Like, I wasn't really wanting it, so it wasn't really going to go in.
But it went in the ani.
There was an effort made.
This is your fiance's boyfriend, your friend's fiance.
My best friend's fiance.
Right.
And he's actually kind of like my best friend, too. I mean, we've all, like, the three of us have been like a little threesome of best friends for years.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And this is the same time where you were asleep or passed out next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam. Any of various forms of sexual intercourse held to be unnatural or abnormal, especially anal intercourse or bestiality.
Right.
So
that's
you,
what I thought.
So, although these days, I don't know quite where the various forms held to be unnatural fits in.
Well, but, I think I would say we spoke earlier in the program about fisting, Drew, for instance.
That would be sodomy.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just when you think you know, Drew.
Wow, learn something tonight.
From a guy who was put on academic probation at the L.A. Junior College. Yeah. Meredith?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the part where this guy, I mean, here's the thing, you know, chick falls asleep next to you, she's had a few wine coolers, maybe you try to grab a boob. Sodomy, ambitious.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a guy I'd like to party with. That is an ambitious man. That's a go-getter.
Yes.
He's got what we call it. Or what we call something that rhymes with it on his penis.
Yeah.
He's done doing that because you don't do that to a woman that's not ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're able to get.
Alcoholics, addicts do very strange sexual stuff sometimes. Things they're terribly ashamed of. They think certain things are a good idea that are really just atrocious ideas. And good, he's in recovery now. Maybe he'll come back when he's working on his amends and give you a call. You may get that uncomfortable phone call someday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine how that one goes, Adams.
I've had it with Margaret Cho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been on, what is that, the eighth step, Drew?
You know, I think it's actually the seventh.
It's the seventh, eighth, and ninth with
yeah.
me.
Yeah,
I've had that uncomfortable conversation from people who have gotten sober and then had to seventh? You say ninth, Drew?
Well, I can't, unfortunately, I can't really remember which one it is. I always have to
eighth
look
or
it
ninth?
Up on the board. Yeah, it's in the last half of the thing.
Yeah, did they actually mention my name on that, or is it just call people you've done wrong and apologize?
They give them an embossed version with your name on it.
And you know how uncomfortable I am with any kind of confrontation or any kind of feelings or anything like that?
Yeah.
I get that feeling like, hey, Adam. Yeah, who's this? John. What's up, buddy? We need to talk. About what? Remember when I was drinking? Yeah, I remember that. That was cool. That's fine. Fantastic. We got to talk. Well, why? I said some things. Oh, no, hey, buddy, that's fine. No, it's not fine. I got that from Margaret Cho.
Mm-hmm.
She got drunk and said a few things to me and then confronted me. And it was like, I'm like, it's cool. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And it's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, this is worse. This is worse than whatever you're apologizing for. It was cool before because you were loaded. And I know you didn't remember what you said or you didn't whatever. Here's what I'm saying, Drew.
Yeah.
Can't people just, like, come clean to a pinata? Do they have to actually have flesh and blood? You know what I mean? Do they actually have to have the person, have to corner the person they made feel uncomfortable so many years ago and make them feel more uncomfortable again in the sober light
of
day?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
How about they do it to somebody else? How about you go get yourself a day labor and then just pull the guy aside, put the guy in your truck, drive around the block for a while, and it's like, I'm sorry I caused all the... Okay? what's your name again? Manuel? And well, I'm sorry. And just use him instead of me. Because that weird step where you have to talk about all the things you've done, it's so uncomfortable.
I know.
And you always try to let him off the hook. It's cool. No, listen, I've done a few. No, it's not cool. Mm-hmm. Now, hear me out. It's just weird, Drew. Go ahead. Do we need 12 steps? Why don't we make it 10?
Just skip the one?
Well, I'm just going to say there's got to be another step on there we could get rid of, too. 12-step program? How about a 10-step program? Cleaner? You know what I mean? More accessible? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody says, go give that chick a rating on a scale of 1 to 12. It's 1 to 10. Everything's 1 to 10. Make it a 10-step program. Get rid of that 9th step where they confront me, and then get rid of another one, too. I'll let you pick that one. I don't care what it is. As long as the 9th one is gone. Nicole?
Yeah?
You're 21?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I was actually wanting to know because I've been looking at labiaplasty.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
like, I mean,
who hasn't?
My labia, it's not like a big deal, but I just, with it not being super important, I just want to know if it, if they have bad side effects, or if there's a concern about maybe not being able to come if you have it done, or
no, nothing like that. But there are various procedures out there, and people get very heated on this subject. You know, why should women have to feel shame and guilty about this, or why should be living up to some standard they see on Playboy pictures? And it's sort of silly on certain levels. On the other hand, I've actually scrubbed in on these surgeries, and they're pretty interesting surgeries. And they're pretty benign. They're pretty easily done. There's a laser procedure out there that I was very impressed by. And they just sort of snip stuff down, and that's the end of it.
Smell? That's got to smell like something, though.
Oh, it's good times.
Hey, wait a minute. Nicole, here's what I don't understand. You say you don't have a problem with your labia?
Well, I mean, like, it's not incapacitating. It's not like I'm embarrassed or it stops me from doing anything. It's just if it can be better and there's no harm to it, why not, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hold on. Well, wait a second. Hold on, Drew. That is not answering the question. It's you know, we're not talking about, you know, a male's physique who says, oh, well, I'm not exactly Schwarzenegger, but I could probably pump a few more weights and look a little better with my shirt off. Why are you calling? I don't understand this. What are you talking about? Everything's fine, everything's great, but it could always be improved. What does that mean? Do you have a problem with the way your labia looks or not?
Well, I guess I do, but it's not a big enough of a problem that if it did have a side effect, I wouldn't be willing to sacrifice good sex for.
What is the problem with it?
I'd like them to be smaller.
Smaller. Is the inner ones to be smaller or the outer ones to be smaller?
The inner ones.
Because they come out past the outer ones?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's not like I've looked into it, and there are some people that it looks like it would probably be hard to even walk.
But yeah, it can be pretty substantial for some.
Ever had any complaints from the boys?
No, and it's not. It's painful. It's just personal that for me, it looks better when they don't. But
if it would
sacrifice me not being able to come or have good sex, it's not worth that.
I understand. Do you have a boyfriend now?
I do.
Is he cool with it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I know there's that whole thing where it matters to me and all that. I'm caught somewhere in between, but look. If you're with a guy or you're with a girl or whoever you're with and whatever sex you are and you have a problem and your partner is completely cool with it, see if you can get over it.
Right. I agree.
If you and now see, and I'm glad you agree with that, Drew, because sometimes you would say, look, she doesn't feel good about her parts. Why not? Blah, blah, blah. But what if I was a guy and said, my penis is small. I'd like to enlarge my penis. And you'd say, will you have a girlfriend? Yes. Does she have an orgasm? Do you have good sex? Does she have a problem? No, everything's fine. You'd say, well, then please. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I would say the same thing to her.
Although there's one caveat with this that's hard to understand as a male is that women, if they don't like how they look, it's hard for them to be, they don't feel sexual, therefore it's hard to be sexual. And so when you say to her, I don't mind, it's great, there's no problem, I love you as you are, I don't feel anything different, she feels not understood, and now she's even angrier and less likely to have sex with you.
I understand that, because that's the way women are. Hmm. But she doesn't want to jeopardize her good sex life and her orgasm. I'm guessing she is having a pretty satisfying sexual life.
I agree.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back on Loveline in just a minute or two. Call 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah! Woohoo! Get it on! Drew, you know what I'm this close to doing?
Dropping trowel.
Dropping trowel.
You're good at that, man. You can drop trowel anywhere. This guy will go out in public and drop trowel.
Drew, I tell you what, I could tell you the last time I dropped trowel, but I have to kill you.
You are so, Crowley, you are so Pavlovian with that song. Every time I play that song, you're dropping
trowel. And that makes me want to drop trowel.
I'm erasing the song.
I will, Anderson, I'll tell you, I'll drop Hey, everybody, Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191, Drew over there in Phoenix tonight. Daughter's going to do herself a double sow cow out on the ice tomorrow.
Double flips, double loops.
Not flips.
Double lutzes.
Lutz.
The flip is a jump. It's not. It's not a flip. It's a.
It's, no,
a,
it's not a full blown flip.
No, 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 no.
All right, let's do a little phone call here. Talk to Amber, who's been on hold for 112 minutes.
Well done, Adam. Well done.
Sorry, baby.
Hello,
Amber.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Hmm. Drew probably has a question for you.
Shoot. Go for it.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
That was real, Drew.
That was real?
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Amber. What's your question?
All right. Well, I have bad anxiety, and I'm scared to go to the doctor, so I take my brother's medication.
That's not good. What medicines are you taking?
Klonopin or clonazepam, something like that.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Well, that's a good anti-anxiety medicine when it's managed carefully, but it can be terribly addictive, and it's a withdrawal. If you are an addict, that can be super miserable. It can last up to a year.
Mm-hmm. Is what's your brother got going?
He has ADD, anxiety, just depression, all of it.
Why is everybody so messed up?
It's your day late, a dollar short with that one, Anderson. Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with him. He's an addict. He is, and my dad is an addict.
Okay, well, there you go.
And what else is going on? You're 19, you're living in Salt Lake. Are you working?
Yeah, I'm working. I mean, I have a good job, but, you know, the anxiety is kind of taking a toll on that, too.
Are you living away from home?
Yeah, I live on my own.
Do you have a roommate?
I'm getting one.
Okay. And what's your job?
I work at a call center.
Mm-hmm. And you like it?
I do like it.
Oh, what is that? What does that mean, a call center?
Well, I don't want to give it away.
But I mean, describe to me what you do. I mean, would you make cold calls and try to sell things? I mean, what do you mean?
People call me.
Uh-oh. Sex? Phone sex?
No.
Oh, okay. Sometimes a long laugh means yes. all right. Look, if you're 19 and you have a job you like, you are way ahead of the game. But you need to treat your depression or get your whatever under control. You just, you know, nipping off your brother's meds is not gonna be a good long-term solution for you, Amber.
No, agreed.
You're smart.
You work hard. You know, I'm scared of the long term. You know, I don't want anything bad to happen.
Yeah. Can you not take his meds and see how that goes? Or do you feel like you're going to have to get into some kind of rehab?
No, I mean, I'm not that bad. It's just I have good days, bad days. I try to spread the pills out so that he doesn't notice it.
Look, you need to get this managed. Why don't you get proper treatment? What's holding you back?
Well, you know, she's 19. She doesn't think she has a problem. Amber, get some treatment.
Go see whoever's treating your brother. You know, maybe you too.
Who's treating your brother? He has a doctor?
Well, he has insurance through my mom, and I have my own insurance.
Okay. Talk to your mom or talk to your brother about seeing his doctor.
Although I have mild concerns about this doctor, because whoever he is or she is prescribing Klonopin to an addict, and that's a bad move.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have, obviously, it's a dude. There's no chick doctors. Huh?
Yeah, well.
Why are you laughing?
I'm just saying. Just saying.
Marcus Welby, not Maria Welby. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to, Maya. Lisa only had sex when she was on meth. What?
Ugh.
Lisa?
Hi.
You've only had sex when you're on meth?
No, I've had sex before. Mm-hmm. But I've had a few boyfriends, but on my last boyfriend, I started having meth while I started doing meth while having sex.
Mm-hmm. Started doing meth. Okay, yeah. All right. And
that sounds bad.
Yeah. I mean, I used it as an enhancer for a little bit, you know, to help enhance and stuff. And then after a while, I was addicted, and now I'm not. I'm actually doing really well, but I've never been able to have an orgasm while having sex. And I'm wondering if that decreases my chance of having an orgasm while having sex.
No.
You never had it when you were on the meth either, right?
Yeah, that's true, but I'm worried it's, I made it super worse now.
No. Being a woman makes it so you can't have an orgasm having sex. That's a normal condition.
That's right. Being a woman and being with me actually cements it in.
Guarantees it. Guarantees it.
Yeah, that's what's called a lock in the gambling world. They call those locks.
Yeah. And you should expect to primarily be able to have orgasm with oral sex.
Mm-hmm. All right, Drew, let's do a little plug in here. Don't you, you got a Lance?
Oh, I do.
Special
coming out at 8 o'clock on Sunday on Discovery Health Channel. It's a pretty good show. I finished all the voice stuff for it today, and it's about surviving cancer, and I did a long interview with Lance Armstrong. It's so frustrating, as you know, television, Adam. I did this, 2-hour interview with him, all this amazing stuff he told me. Hey, eight minutes of it.
Yeah. Packed into 33 seconds.
Yeah, 8 minutes of it makes it in.
It's awesome. It's
oh, man.
Yeah, and you're what about this? What about that?
I know.
But you start telling good jokes, and they start cropping all that crap out. At least your stuff's boring.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Of course.
And I'll give a little plug in myself. Too late with Adam Carolla on tonight. Andy Milonakis on tonight's show on Comedy Central. And also Adam Carolla Project, which you guys need to watch because that's a good show. That I think they re-air that on Saturday at 11 o'clock on TLC. Drew, you're going to have to get caught up on that. You don't want to fall behind.
I watched one episode. I just didn't hear it.
Yeah, I know. Now you got to hear, baby. Yeah. All right, we will. By the way, it is the ninth step where you make amends. Drew.
Ninth step. Beg your pardon.
We'll take a quick break. Oh no, you were right. I said
no. I kept saying seventh or ninth. I couldn't remember. I knew it wasn't eighth.
All right.
Because I used to say eighth, and I found out that was wrong.
I know, and I listened to you, and I found out I was wrong for listening to you. Mm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's it for the week. I want to thank Patricia for doing a great job handling the phone calls all week. I want to thank engineers Michelle and Marcus, and I want to thank Anderson, of course, the nimble-fingered one. Also want to thank, Rick, engineer Rick, and Junior producer Lauren for doing a great job. Yeah, looking good. Working for the man now. And of course, producer Ann for doing a fantastic job all week long. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, Drew, give me a call. Saying, gotcha. Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, the sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.